From Lake Wasota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, we're going back to 1982 again. Fabulous. All right, before we get the weekend, once more with feeling. Packers preseason is done. I tried to catch a little bit of it last night. I got as far as halftime, but like I said, that's not my jam. You catch any of it?
I did not. Yesterday I was in the golden era of television, and I finished the newest season of Only Murders in the Building. So I watched that instead of the Packers preseason, because I was kind of like, we're not going to see. See, it's weird. They condensed it down from 4 preseason games to 3, but now it's to the point where that third preseason game is so far away from the still, because they still have next weekend off, and it's still not the regular season yet. And so the starters still don't play. So for the most part, you're seeing a lot of individuals that are attempting to make the team, see right. where it's talent. They're assessing all the talent still for who's going to make the 53-man roster. And so I saw that both Danny Davis, who was a former Wisconsin Badger, got cut before last night's game. So he was released from the team. And then we traded away Green Bay native Cole Van Lannen to Jacksonville. So the Jaguars will have Green Bay native on their offensive line. But those were really the two stories I was watching through training camp, and therefore didn't have a whole lot of reason to tune in last night.
No, if you're into the personal drama of will somebody make the team or not, and I totally get that. I mean, ESPN and others have made a cottage industry out of the little documentaries that follow somebody chasing the dream, and that's fine. And then for the rest of us who just sit in a bar on Sunday afternoons, you could put a Labrador Retriever in a green jersey, and if it can catch a ball, then hey, we're gonna cheer, And everybody's going to yell shots, after a touchdown is scored, which tells you something about the bar that I go to on Sunday afternoons. What I do like when I caught the game last night was hearing Kevin Harlan doing the play-by-play, because I typically don't hear him on football games, because I believe he's a CBS football announcer, and that'd be a lot of AFC games. But in whatever capacity, I don't hear much, but I got to know about Kevin about 30 years ago now. And that was when we were living in the Twin Cities during my wife's residency with the University of Minnesota Hospital. And the Minnesota Timberwolves were a brand new NBA team. And so there was a lot of excitement there, NBA basketball in Minnesota. And Kevin Harlan was
back in Minnesota.
Yeah, back in Minnesota. Sorry, before the Lakers headed out west. And Kevin Harlan was doing the play-by-play, and the team stunk. It was so bad. And I think that might be the only time I regularly listened to basketball play-by-play on the radio, because Kevin Harlan could find anything else to talk about while occasionally mentioning, what was happening on the court and how bad they were. Just the whatever stories it was that he would tell, the interaction that he had with the other people there. And I really came to appreciate, you have to be able to do that when you're calling a bad, bad game. We can't all be Vin Scully, or you've right. got the Dodgers in front of you every day.
Yeah, it's definitely. But basketball is one of those harder ones, because I feel like they must have been really bad, because I feel like the basketball play-by-play is not as off. Like you're talking pretty constantly about what's going on the court. It's not like baseball where you got to fill all that airtime with the stories. So I can't imagine how bad the Timberwolves really truly were then, if he wasn't even doing the dribbling up and down and who's passing to who right off.
Well,
the bat.
I think he was, but you just kind of hear that and he missed another, or something. Just right. the spin that he would put on it, and so that's what I enjoyed about him, and other people they can just bring a sport to life. Obviously, everybody's been talking about Vin Scully lately. For me, for hockey, for example, and I didn't realize this, I am a huge fan of Doc Emmerich, who recently retired after, decades of hockey. I mean, he made hockey sound magical, in my opinion. And it wasn't until, the hubbub about his retirement that I realized there are some people that are not Doc Emmerich fans, to which I would say, what's the matter with you? and in football, Wayne Larrabee. And I say that as somebody who, when we lived in Milwaukee while my wife was going to the Medical College of Wisconsin, I was a regular listener to WGN radio as well as WTMJ radio, you know, just being a news junkie, you know, working there at the time. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'd have WGN on and I would catch Wayne Larrivee's, called Bears games. I thought, this guy's really good. So, after he moved to Green Bay, I thought that was a great catch on our part. And I don't even say that being a homer. I'm saying I listened to him when he was, you know, calling for another team. And I just don't feel like he has lost a step. And now I'm trying to come up with if there is a quintessential baseball voice besides Bob Uecker. Uecker here. Like, you had Vin Scully, and Ernie Harwell, Joe Buck. Jack Buck.
I was like, what?
Jack Buck. I told you I was at Target Field last week when mm-hmm. we were making a trip over to Minnesota, caught a Twins game, watching the Brewer game on my phone. And they were honoring some of the people that were going into the team's Hall of Fame. So a lot of people from the 1991 World Series. And so they were replaying some parts of the 87 and 91 World Series. And the funny thing is that there was Jack Buck making that call. And I'd like to think that more people, when you mention Kirby Puckett, they think of that home run in 1991 of Game 6 that, you know, gave the Twins the win and forced a Game 7 that Jack Morris ultimately won by pitching 10 innings for them. But that call of Jack as Kirby's home run flies over the fence and he goes, "And we'll see ya tomorrow night." And that's it. And he just lets the crowd take it over from there. I'm in awe of people that can do that. I mean, I can sit here and yodel for 3 hours a day on the radio about all kinds of things. I'll even end the show early unintentionally sometimes.
Intentionally.
Just to have something to talk about, if the case may be. But to call a game in front of you, I tried that once or twice in college, for the TV, both TV and radio. I think I tried both. And it was, again, folks, some people, it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah. And if you're listening tonight, across Civic Media, all three of our signals outside of Madison. So Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids will have high school sports on the call this evening. So you're going to want to stay tuned if you're looking for an example of what Pat's talking about.
There you go.
We've got a local team here at Civic Media providing those local sports across high schools around our network.
Excellent. Next week, we're going to have, as I mentioned, Jeff Smith, state senator from Eau Claire, state senate candidate Kelly Westland. Kirk Bankstead is going to be back from his vacation on Wednesday and will join Dr. Krister Lyerly. We will also have Joe Zepecki and Christina Laurie. Maybe. Christina Laurie has now moved into the Matt Damon category of will she or won't she be a guest on our show? We wish her well with whatever bug she's got today, and we will make her appear next week from whatever deathbed she's on. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday.